Psychedelic drugs have fit into a very clear niche in American culture over the past several decades. Stories about Timothy Leary, LSD, bad trips, and the like have dominated when many of us think of psychedelia. But scientists have been doing a lot more research into whether use of psychedelics can help people dealing with mental illness or physical ailments. And earlier this month, voters in Denver decided to decriminalize the use of psilocybin mushrooms, popularly known as magic mushrooms. Author Michael Pollan explores the broader topic in his book, How to Change Your Mind, What the New Science of Psychedelics Teaches Us About Consciousness, Dying, Addiction, Depression, and Transcendence. He'll be at the Mesa Arts Center for Changing Hands Bookstore tonight at 7 to talk about it, and I spoke with him earlier via Skype. I started by asking for his reaction to the vote in Denver on psilocybin mushrooms.
Well, I was as surprised as anyone that enough people had heard of psilocybin to vote in favor of it. It was a squeaker, but I basically approve what they were stipulating with this, which was essentially they're not legalizing psilocybin. They're basically saying it should be the prosecution of psilocybin crimes by individuals should be a very low priority. And that seems sensible to me. I don't think anyone should be arrested or have to go to jail for possessing or using or cultivating a mushroom. That said, I don't know that ballot initiatives are the best way to figure out how we're going to fold these very powerful substances into our society. We have a very lively and productive research effort going on all over the country at many, many universities where they're actually testing psilocybin as a treatment for various mental disorders, from depression to addiction, anxiety, and they're having lots of success, and we're learning a ton about psilocybin. It seems to me that's really the path we should be on.
Well, that makes it interesting, too, to jump in just briefly about that perception question that comes up. I imagine there's still a huge percentage of Americans, when they hear psychedelic mushrooms or magic mushrooms, they think something, and they may not be thinking in terms of what scientists are trying to do now.
They're not. Yeah. I mean, they're thinking, look, the whole idea of psychedelics in most of our minds is a 60s, creation. I mean, it was in the 60s we first heard about psychedelics, and they became very controversial, and there was a incredible exuberance about how they were going to change the world. And then there was this equally irrational backlash saying that they were dangerous drugs that were going to, destroy young minds. And, both versions were equally exaggerated and untrue. But what's happened in the years since, after this hiatus, where for about 30 years, no one did research, and the drugs kind of went underground, research has resumed. And my book is really about this psychedelic renaissance that really begins in the very late 90s, though nothing's published till 2006 or so. And it's an attempt to pick up the thread that was dropped in the 60s during the backlash, because I think what very few people realize, and I certainly didn't realize, is that before Timothy Leary, before the 60s, there had been this very fertile, productive period of research all through the 50s and into the 60s, where psilocybin and LSD were being used to treat a variety of indications and showing real success, great promise. Now, these studies are not up to modern standards, which is why they all need to be rerun. But that's what's happening right now. And there have been some very exciting results showing that psilocybin can help most dramatically with the so-called existential distress of people with a cancer diagnosis, many of them terminal. I interviewed lots of people in that group, and it was remarkable to see how a single experience on psilocybin, and I should add a guided experience. These are not just people going off and taking a drug. They're working with therapists who are with them the whole time and preparing them carefully. Could remove their fear of death. That was the most astonishing thing.
I want to come back to the word you used before about being guided, in essence, when someone is doing this. So is that something you were able to experience in writing the book? And what is it? What is the guiding supposed to prepare ourselves for? Because I imagine people have very different reactions to psychedelic drugs as they could with anything else.
Yeah. I mean, well, I did have the experience of a guided trip. It was not in one of the clinical trials. I had found an underground guide. and several of them actually that I work with. And these are people who are trained therapists, but working at, you know, great risk to their freedom because they really strongly believe in the therapeutic value of these substances. But basically, the key thing to understand about psychedelics is a point made by Timothy Leary, you know, 60 years ago, which was that set and setting strongly influence the kind of experience you have. By set, he meant the mindset, the attitude or intention you have going in. And by setting, he meant the physical setting. Was it comfortable? Was it safe? Did you feel good there? And more than most drugs, psychedelic experience is strongly influenced by that context. And so one of the things that the guides do in preparation, they'll have several sessions with you that you'll talk a lot about your life and your concerns and perhaps what issues you're hoping to address in the session. And then they'll prepare you for what's likely to happen. The guide prepares you by saying things like, well, surrender to whatever happens. If you feel like you're going crazy or dying or your ego is dissolving, go with it. If you see a staircase, climb up it. If you see a monster, walk right up to it and ask it, what is it doing in your mind? Don't try to run away. Don't try to fight what's happening in your mind. And then the guides stay with you during the whole experience. They say almost nothing, but they're available to help you if you need help getting up to go to the bathroom or you're hungry or need a sip of water. And, you know, just to give you a handhold or if you're really in a emotionally difficult place, which sometimes happens. So I found that gave me confidence to go further and deeper, I think, than I would have felt safe doing, if I were at home or walking around in the woods or whatever.
Michael, I don't want to invoke the days of reefer madness or something like that, but are there still some risks related to psychedelics that and people still could have quote unquote bad trips, even though it's something different than that, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, a bad trip can be a panic reaction that will pass, or it can be something really serious. That, you know, there was a study of bad trips done at Johns Hopkins, and about 8% of people sought psychotherapy to deal with what came up. So that's a real risk. It's a psychological risk. For people who are already at risk for serious mental illness, like schizophrenia, none of the university trials would let you into one of their trials. There is a real risk that if you have a tendency or a genetic disposition to schizophrenia, that the psychedelic trip could give you a psychotic break and begin begin the course of the disease. The physical risks are remarkably slight. The one other risk to think about too is a practical risk, which is, you know, your judgment is going to be impaired, and people could do stupid things. They could walk out into traffic or get in a car and try to drive or do something really reckless.
Was this something that you dove into with both feet? Was it something you were excited about but a little nervous about trying?
I was definitely nervous and also excited. I mean, I was excited to have stumbled on this amazing new topic after writing about food for so many years. But, you know, here were these astonishing products of nature that could completely change our consciousness, transform people's lives. And I was, you know, after I interviewed a few people who'd had these transformative experiences, I was very eager to try it myself because I had had very little, if any, psychedelic experience. I mean, low-dose mushroom experience in my 20s, and that was basically it. So I got into psychedelics not at the age-appropriate point in life, but I'm very happy I did because I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about nature, and it was really one of the most meaningful experiences of my life.
That is Michael Pollan. He's author of How to Change Your Mind, What the New Science of Psychedelics Teaches Us About Consciousness, Dying, Addiction, Depression, and Transcendence. He'll be at the Mesa Arts Center as part of Changing Hands Bookstore coming up Wednesday night at 7. Michael, really great to talk with you. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, too. Great talking to you, Steve.